Welcome to the Executive Bay Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share our recent conversation with Ali Torres. Ali is the Assistant Director of Admissions for Professional Degree Programs here at the Dart School of Business. And she and I recently connected to talk about one of our most frequent questions. How are Darden's Executive MBA and Part-Time MBA programs similar, and how are they different? I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here is my interview with Ali Torres. Ali, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Brett. Excited to be here.
It's great to have you here. I'm really excited about today's topic. We're going to talk about the Executive MBA and Part-Time MBA programs. What makes them similar? What makes them different? We just did a webinar about this a few weeks ago, and it feels like a pretty good podcast content. What do you think?
I agree. I think this is something we talk about a lot with candidates. So getting a podcast out there as well, something for someone to listen to on the way to work. Always helpful.
You're right. This has been a topic of conversation in a lot of the phone conversations and virtual chats that I've hosted this year. And invariably, somebody says, can you just tell me how they're similar, how they're different? And so, why not do a podcast episode about this? Hopefully something that people will find helpful. As we get started here, though, I think it's important to start by talking about what's the same across all of Darden's MBA programs. There's a lot of shared DNA, a lot of commonalities, if you will, across Darden's MBA programs, one of which is the structure of the program. This sort of conceptually, it's general management program. Everybody takes the same core and then moves into electives. And the core is always taught by full-time Darden faculty. Ali, one of the most common questions that we've gotten about the part-time MBA program, and I would say also the executive MBA program, is who are teaching these classes? Who are the faculty that are leading these classes? And I think we have a good story there.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are worried that they're not getting the same experience, right? They're worried that the faculty won't be the same across formats, but they are. They drive up from Charlottesville, some are even located nearby, and they come in. They're excited and they're ready to teach and be part of that experience. And so it's the same across formats, which is great. It's really just the type of format and the way that it's set up. So having that choice, but still getting the same experience and that same, top ranked faculty member who's teaching you and leading that case discussion, I think that really just gives to the experience of the program.
And faculty in particular enjoy teaching our working professional students because the students are able to take what they're learning and apply it at work and in real time. And of course, bring things from work that they're seeing and experiencing back into the classroom. It all feels very live because of this real-time return on investment, which you hear about so often from our part-time MBA and executive MBA students. And, if people know one thing about Darden, they may know that case method is really employed here, particularly during the core, but even during electives, student-centered participatory learning. Everybody's assigned a learning team as well. This is a 5-to-6-person team that's there really as a social touch point, but also an academic resource as students navigate the core of the program in particular. What would you want to highlight about the learning teams?
Yes. So we actually just had a women's chat and we were talking about learning teams and the learning team experience. And I had a student who spoke of her learning team. She said, there are these built-in team members with different backgrounds who support me in everything that I do. We have different strengths and weaknesses, which I think pull together in our experiences. But then at the same time, we become best friends because we're working together on all these cases, and you just have to trust each other. And it's a really great way to have a support system in place, but also to build those lifelong connections. And I think that's a really community aspect at Darden that we have that translates into the classroom.
Yeah, the learning teams are assigned to each student coming in to school, typically announce the learning teams a couple weeks prior to the start of school. So you have a chance to get to know each other before things really kick off. And then, that team is there as a resource for you as you navigate the core. It makes the most sense during the core because everybody's taking the same classes together. And, we assign that first team. Sometimes the teams work together for the entirety of the core. Sometimes teams shuffle around and people join other teams. But this is not a program. Any of our programs are not meant to be done by yourself. There's too much to do. Case method's going to ask a lot of students in terms of preparation for class because you have to show up ready to participate, to have a perspective on what's going on in the case, to have some idea about the decision that should be made so that you'd be really ready to contribute to that conversation. That's the social contract here. Everybody's expected to show up ready to engage in that conversation. And so the learning team is there to help you get further on as a group than you could on your own. So you read the case by yourself, then you get together with the learning team, get a bit further in your understanding of the case. You go to class. This is the third step in the learning model. You have the case discussion. And then the fourth step is reflection on what happened in class. And then think about how you want to refine your approach to the next case that you read in light of what happened in class and in the discussion that played out. Allie, one of the most common misconceptions, or I'd say one of the frequent questions we get about our working professional programs is, do they have access to career support, career resources? What do you share with students who ask that question?
Yes, I feel like that is a very common question. And people are concerned, oh, if I do a different format, I'm not going to have access to these resources because I'll be employed. And I will say that it is different, but you do have access to the same resources. I would just say that for full-time, you know, they've quit their fully, they're not employed, they're going to school full-time. So they're doing a very structured recruiting process that, you know, leads into a, you know, an internship over the summer and then maybe a full-time role, or they re-recruit that second year. Whereas in our working professionals, you know, they are on a different track where they're being, you know, supported, coached, prepared during those first, you know, year or two in the program. And then they're being prepared to recruit into a full-time role. So the resources are still there. It's just a little different in how the process is structured. But same exact resources as Charlottesville. And we have three dedicated individuals who work out of our Roslyn space here at Sands Family Grounds, who just are so dedicated. And we actually, I know I brought up the webinar we had with some students, but she just talked about, one of our students had transitioned into a new role, and she's a part-time student, and she was moving within her same company, but into a new department because of, you know, getting an MBA. And she said that she was able to hop on with one of our career professionals late that afternoon and discuss, like, okay, I'm applying. This is the offer. What do I do? What are your thoughts? And she said that he was so dedicated and caring about what her next steps were and how to support her. And I think hearing that, that really helped shape her decision and how she was able to really navigate that transition was very great to hear.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference as you look at full-time MBA, part-time MBA, and executive MBA is full-time MBA students are going to do an internship as part of their career process. Part-time MBA and executive MBA students are not. But that does not mean that part-time MBA and executive MBA students can't make a switch as a result of their MBA program. We actually, I would say about 75% or so of our part-time MBA students are at least interested in some kind of career transition, potentially switching function and or industry. We also have people who are looking to climb within their companies and some folks who are looking to launch their own venture. Executive MBA students, probably about 50%+ of an executive MBA class are here to switch function or industry. A number of students are interested in potentially climbing within their companies. And we also have probably a larger portion of the executive MBA class, at least exploring entrepreneurship because of where they are in their career. Most students, though, it's fair to say, are considering a few different paths at the same time, depending on how things play out. And so the nice thing about these programs, working professional programs that we have here, part-time MBA and executive MBA, is that you have some time to explore before things would really kind of get moving on the recruitment process. You know, for our executive MBA students, first year or so of the program is a time for exploration. If you're looking to make a career transition, it's really in that second year. It's a 21-month program. So in that second year is really when the career process would accelerate if you're looking to make a switch. For our part-time MBA students, it's a standard pacing is about 33 months, so about a year slower than executive MBA. So you have about a couple years or so to explore and kind of think about what's next for you, because it's really in that third and final year of study, if you're on that standard pacing, when the recruitment process would pick up. And part-time MBA and executive MBA students can participate in recruiting through the Darden's Career Center. But when you're recruiting, it's not for internship positions. Bear in mind, these are for post-MBA full-time positions. And so the kinds of roles that employer would want you to have earned your MBA before you show up at work. And so it's really, that's why a lot of that recruiting is accelerating in that final year of study, so that you're applying at a time where graduation's in view and that you would have completed your MBA prior to the start of that role. And so a little bit about the career support services. Interesting thing to note as well, on the career front for both part-time MBA and executive MBA students is that they're actually there's a required course in both classes that's career-focused, the professional advancement course, which students take in the January term. So you actually have dedicated space in the curriculum in the part-time MBA and executive MBA programs focused on your career. Ali, another common misconception, I think, particularly with executive MBA, is that it's a different degree than the other MBA formats, but that's not true. So we have four formats of one MBA here at Dartmouth. Do you get that question from time to time?
Yes, that is the common misconception. I think, I don't know what rumors are going out around out in the world where they think executive MBA means something entirely different. That's not me. That is for people way advanced that are executives or CEOs or, and that is a big misconception. And I feel like that's part of a big part of our phone calls as well, Brett. It's just breaking down those barriers and helping people understand what that program truly is.
For sure. I would say as long as I've been talking to candidates about the executive MBA, it is the program that people have the most misconceptions about. There's something about that word executive really throws people off. When we say executive, we really mean more of a weekend schedule, not necessarily a target student. We have a handful of students who might fairly consider themselves executives. The vast majority of folks in the program, probably somewhere between maybe 6 years of work experience and 20 years of work experience, with an average of around 11, maybe 12, 13 years of work experience. So not executives. So the other thing, we say four formats of one MBA. You may be wondering about that. We have a full-time MBA format. We have a part-time MBA format. We have an executive MBA format and a global executive MBA format. You may know within our executive MBA program, there are two executive formats. Everybody's part of the same class, moving through the program together. The only difference between these two formats is the number of global residencies that are required. And sort of consistent with this idea of four formats of one MBA, everybody graduating with the same degree, the diploma saying the same thing, regardless of the MBA format you complete, everybody's part of the same alumni network. So this kind of one Darden idea or framework. Ali, there are also some similarities across our executive MBA and part-time MBA programs. Both are designed for working professionals. The expectation is that students are working while pursuing their degree. Both are hybrid in nature. Probably one of the more misunderstood elements of the design. Do you want to explain what it means for these programs to be hybrid?
Yes. I think, you know, some people think that hybrid means very flexible. And in a way, it is flexible, but it's not. It's really structured in a sense. So for our part-time MBA program, you know, you have these rotating weekly meetings. So on Monday and Thursday evenings, typically, and they rotate in person here at Sands Family Grounds that evening. And usually students eat dinner before class and then they go up. So they have a community element. And then the next week we'll be on Zoom, but it still is that structured Zoom meeting where you log on. You know, our faculty member is facilitating that case discussion. You've met during the week, but it gives you that flexibility in that you're able to work remote or do so if you're like traveling, for instance, but it is very set in the cadence. Now for our executive MBA program, it is also hybrid. So there are in-person elements. I think a common misconception is that executive MBA is, you know, majority online. And that's not the case. I would say both formats are very similar. But for executive MBA, there are weeknight classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays, about 90 minute sessions. And those are all virtual throughout the month. So for like, if you're looking at like a 4 week standard month, there will be 90 minute sessions on those Tuesday, Thursdays. For three of those weeks, that final week, there will be no classes. And then we will have a weekend residency. And during that weekend residency, you will come in about Friday at 11 a.m., eat lunch. There's usually a homeroom where students gather together and celebrate each other. And then they go into the weekend and they're doing their classes. And they typically end Sunday at 3 so people can travel back. Yeah, so there's both those in-person components, but it is very structured, I would say, Brett.
Yeah, we say hybrid. What we mean is that they're in-person and virtual elements, to Ali's points here. Part-time MBA is about 60% in-person, 40% online. Executive MBA is about two thirds in person, one third online. We got the question when we launched the part-time MBA about the virtual elements of the program, if that was just something that was introduced because of COVID. And the answer is no. We found by delivering our executive MBA program in this hybrid way, it gives students more flexibility in terms of managing their schedules. And we felt like 100% in-person part-time MBA program with evening, weeknight schedules would just be too rigid for people. We know that part-time MBA students, they have work-related travel, they have personal travel, may just need to be at home for an evening. And so we found this cadence of alternating in-person and virtual weeks gives students flexibility. And so it maybe gives you an opportunity to maybe plan around those in-person weeks a little bit more. And so, but very similar in terms of the percentage in-person and virtual. And then the other thing to know about these programs is that the base location is here in the Washington, D.C. metro area for both programs. Our location here in Roslyn, Sands Family Grounds, here at 1100 Wilson Boulevard. We have the top two floors of this building, floors 30 and 31, 40,000 square feet. That is the base location for the executive MBA and part-time MBA programs. We also have an MSBA program, a master's in business analytics that runs out of the space. We have about 450 or so students learning out of Sands Family Grounds. So this is the base, but there are also touch points in Charlottesville for both of these programs. There's a week at the beginning of the program. Interestingly enough, everybody at Darden starts at the same time. So part-time MBA and executive MBA students are down in Charlottesville on grounds for their first week-long residencies at the same time, start of school. Executive MBA students have another week-long residency at the conclusion of their program, what's called Leadership Residency 2. For part-time MBA students, they have another week-long residency at the conclusion of the core curriculum about 18 months into the program, what's called Residency 2 or R2. So you also get time down in Charlottesville. And we've even seen some students go down to Charlottesville for a short January term elective. January term is a 10-day term that occurs between fall and spring semester. So if you're looking for other ways to get down to Charlottesville, that's an option. There's also some extracurricular activities that take place down there. We had a all Darden football tailgate we just had this past weekend for the UNC-UVA game. There was an all-Darden watch party. We had some part-time MBA students and executive MBA students go down for that. So other ways to find your way down to Charlottesville as you go through the program. So let's kind of do a side-by-side comparison, Allie, here. But before we get into all this, I think the first thing I'd like to talk about, and maybe where we start a lot of these conversations, is just who is in the classroom, the mix of people in the classroom. Because I think that plays a little bit differently here at Darden than it may at some other schools where it's more of a lecture-based approach. Darden is, it's case method, it's participatory, it's discussion-based. You do take some electives which are more experiential in nature, but those are still participatory classes. And so who's in the room with you? I think it matters a little bit more here than it might at some other schools. So let's talk about the part-time MBA students. How would you describe the part-time MBA students? Who's in a part-time MBA class?
Yes. So our part-time MBA students, typically we see around that 2 to 15 year range with a 5.5 year average of experience. And I do agree that thinking about your peers and who you'll be learning with is such a big aspect of Darden, specifically because of the case method and because of the learning team structure and those elements. Those are typically who we see in the classroom. It's similar to our full-time program. So kind of more earlier year, but we do have some people with 15 years of experience in the program as well. And I think something that you'll realize when we're talking about executive MBA is that there is a little bit of overlap, and we'll probably address that as well.
Yeah, I think what you want to think about here as you're listening to us describe who's in what classroom is really, where is your peer group? Because that matters a lot in the case method. You want to be around people who are engaging you on similar levels, wrestling with similar challenges at work, have had perhaps similar experiences to you over the course of their career. Our part-time MBA students, to Allie's point, more often than not, individual contributors, earlier career students, the middle 80 percentile of a part-time MBA class is typically around 3 years of work experience to 8 years of work experience. That is very similar to our full-time MBA class. So if you walk into a part-time MBA classroom, you look around, you're going to see a lot of people kind of in their maybe mid to late 20s, early 30s from an age standpoint. That's the group that we've seen who've been interested in our part-time MBA program. And when you look at executive MBA, again, that word executive does throw people off. They tend to think, oh, I must not be senior enough. I must not be at this right sort of level in the organization. And I will say there is some variance from executive MBA program to executive MBA program when it comes to these kinds of things. Some programs will really insist on you have to have this kind of job. You have to be in this kind of role. We want to see an organizational chart, or you know, we want to know that you have this set of responsibilities. That is not our perspective on who can be in the executive MBA program here at Darden. And so this is one of the things that makes executive MBA research complex for applicants, is that seemingly every school does this a little bit differently. We have a pretty broad perspective on who can be in an executive MBA classroom. We have a preferred work experience minimum for this program of 5 years of work experience. So that's a bit different than for part-time MBA, where part-time MBA technically no minimum work experience requirement, although we do expect that students will have at least 2 years of professional work experience. Executive MBA, you have this 5-year minimum preference in terms of work experience. And then if you ask sort of where are most of the students in their career, I mentioned this earlier in passing, but students are generally around 6 to maybe 20 years into their career. So that's the middle 80 percentile of a typical executive MBA class. Average years of work experience is somewhere between 11 to 13. That's been average years for the past few classes that we've had in the executive MBA program. Some students are individual contributors, but more of the students are at least on a path to management or managing others, managing a budget, managing projects, have that kind of responsibility set. So fewer individual contributors, typically in executive MBA class, more students who have had those kind of managerial responsibilities in a lot of different directions, potentially. We're pretty broad-minded as to what would constitute leadership or management. And what can be helpful sometimes here, Allie, is just coming and sitting in on a class and looking around and sort of taking stock on, do I think this is a group that will engage me, will challenge me in the classroom? Because the learning experience here is different than at many MBA programs. It's much more participatory, much more discussion-based. What do you think about that?
Yes, this is actually something I always talk about when we're doing our phone conversations with people, because I think a lot of them have an idea or, you know, a conception of where they think they fit. You know, and we did talk, you talked a little bit about that overlap as well, where, you know, there's the 2 to 15 years, 5 to 25 years within, you know, both programs. But I've seen people come in for a visit who think, I am definitely a part-time student. And they come in and they sit down and then they walk out and go, actually, maybe I'm more of an executive MBA student. When's your next class? Is it for that? And then they end up attending like an executive MBA class visit, meeting somebody who's executive MBA. And that changes their entire perspective. And they're like, actually, this is exactly what, you know, what my cohort, what I would want to be and what that experience needs to be for me. So it's happened more often, you know, and I think that's just the nature of the overlap, the nature of you trying to really discover. And we encourage that discovery process. We want you to attend those class visits, to engage, and to really find out what fits best for you. But I will say those class visits are a really great way to kind of experience it and visualize yourself in the program.
Yeah, I always think about a Venn diagram here as to who's in the classroom. And, you know, there is some overlap there in the middle. But as you get further and further, you know, up the experience number, you do start to really become an executive MBA student. If, as your earlier career here, you're more of a part-time MBA student. That's the visual that I always use in my mind. But a class visit can really help clarify things for students. Let's talk a little bit more about where folks are coming from, because the schedule of the part-time MBA program, as you mentioned, is evening and weeknight schedule. For that reason, people really have to be within easy commuting distance of our location here in Roslyn. Part-time MBA is very local audience. You know, we have 80%+ of the students that are within 30 miles or less of our location here in Roslyn. If you talk with those students, they actually think about themselves as residential students in an evening program. That's one of the things that you actually hear, like kind of they think of themselves much more akin to the full-time MBA population because of the virtue that everybody is living, you know, very close to grounds here in the DC area. We do have a few students in Baltimore, Annapolis, Richmond. So it is possible to commute in, but that's probably about as far away as you can get and really sustainably manage the, you know, every other weekend person schedule of the part-time MBA program with the virtual weeks in between, as Allie mentioned. Now, executive MBA program is a bit different here. So what would you want to share about the executive MBA program and where people are coming from?
Yeah, they're coming in from all over. I would say primarily United States. I mean, I think this last cohort, we had over 17 different states represented, you know, throughout the United States. And so it's great because it establishes a broader cohort. I will say the majority still are within, you know, the East Coast area, you know, even Virginia as well. But it still does kind of broaden it a bit because it's more flexible in that they can, people can fly in for that one weekend a month, right? Everything else is virtual throughout the month, and then that one weekend they can fly in. And so I spoke, that's also something that can sometimes make a decision. Someone could be living somewhere else and they could be, you know, kind of later professional 10, like, you know, right on that cusp of 10 years. And they realize that they don't have to relocate their entire lives to DC. So they think, oh, this might actually be a better format for me as well. And it shouldn't be the first thing they're thinking about, but it's another factor that I think plays into the decision.
Yeah, the reason we have the once a month weekend residency schedule is we actually thought that that it maybe frees people up a little bit more. You have one weekend residency per month. You have online classes in between. And as Allie mentioned, in the first year of the program, students are taking core curriculum in the executive MBA. And so your online classes are going to be on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. As you get into the elective period, your exact timing of the online classes can vary. The elective distance sessions, depending upon the class you choose, could be on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. So you have some flexibility there, depending upon the classes you choose and during the elective period, which is really the second year of the executive MBA program. But this hybrid structure, we felt like give students, you know, who are very busy, got a lot on their plate, typical executive MBA students, some flexibility. They don't have to travel here two times a month. They can continue to stay engaged with the program, doing the live synchronous online classes between the weekend residencies, and of course, meeting with their learning team and seeing their classmates online, seeing their faculty online. It helps keep the program manageable. It's something that we also hear from students as well. So let's talk a little bit more about how the schedules compare. One last note here about the relative size. Some people may be wondering about, you know, how large is a part-time MBA class? How large is an executive MBA class? Part-time MBA classes, typically, we matriculate about 65 to 70 students in a typical part-time MBA class. Executive MBA is a little bit larger than that. It's about 120 to 130 students. At Darden, a section is really defined as about 60 to 65 students. So as you can see, part-time MBA, the class is effectively a section. An executive MBA, 120, 130 students, effectively two sections. This kind of section terminology really just matters as students go through the core. And so in the part-time MBA program, you do the core with the same group. It's cohort-based and lockstep during that core curriculum. And so we're really learning with those 65, 70 students you matriculated with. In the executive MBA program, students are divided into two sections. As they go through the core curriculum, really the first year of the program. And we shuffle those sections a couple of times, essentially after the end of each semester. So there's two shufflings that happen to just give students opportunity to learn with different folks as they go through the core curriculum. Your learning team will always be in your section as an executive MBA student, in case you're curious. They'll always be in there with you. So let's drill down on the schedules. I know we've talked about them here in passing, Allie, as we've talked about some of these details, but I just really want to make sure people are clear, because as we're encouraging people to think about this decision, maybe this is a little bit different than how other schools would encourage students to think about it. But first thing we want you to think about, if you're kind of on the fence, you're thinking about part-time versus executive MBA, the first question is, where are you in your career? Which of these groups would be your peer group, would be the most engaging for you to learn with? That's the first question we would encourage you to think about. And that might lead you in one direction or another. But let's say you're still kind of thinking through this. You get sort of to a next order question. All right, maybe I could do either one. What's another thing to think about? Well, the next thing to think about is schedule, what you can make work. And as Allie mentioned, geography plays a role here. If you're really far away, you know, you're not planning to relocate to the DC area, that might also have an influence here. But let's say you're living in the DC area or within easy commuting distance to the DC area or planning to relocate, who knows. Schedule is going to be something to think about as well. So part-time MBA, how do you describe the schedule?
Yes. Well, the part-time MBA is more of a flexible completion timeline. So, you know, 28 to 48 months ranging So for the first 18 months, you're doing the core curriculum, as Brett has mentioned. So that's when you're in lockstep with your cohort. And then when you enter the elective period after that first 18 months, that's when you're going into, you know, where you get to pick the pacing, essentially. And the standard pacing that we've seen is around 33 months. I know you can slow down, kind of speed up according to what you're needing. And we have a few examples on our website of what that kind of can look like. But, you know, it's really about kind of that customization of being able to slow down a bit or add on to speed up. Whereas in with our executive MBA, you know, it's a 21-month program. You're in lockstep the entirety. That first year, you're doing the elective period. That second year, you're doing the, you know, sorry, the first year, you're doing the core period. The second year, you're doing the elective period. So, it, you know, it is very, the difference I would say there is the flexibility with the part-time versus the executive MBA. It's all one program in complete lockstep.
Yeah. So just to talk through a few things. So part-time MBA, mentioned this evening weeknight schedule. So the first 18 months, cohort based, it's lockstep. So when you're doing the core curriculum, and during those first 18 months, you'll have class on Monday and Thursday evenings as a part-time MBA student from 6 to 9:30 p.m. Monday will be all one course. Thursday will be all one course. You're typically taking two classes at a time. And on a Monday or Thursday night, you're wondering, oh, what happens in that 3.5 hour block? There's typically about a 75 to 85 minute class, and then a short break, and then another 75 or 85 minute class. So if you're wondering about how to set expectations with people in your life, go ahead and block off the full 3.5 hours. You might be finished a little bit earlier than that, but better to set that expectation. So that's during the first 18 months of the program. When you get to the elective period, which is where the flexibility comes in. So you do 34 and a half credits as a part-time MBA student in the core. In the electives, you have 25 and a half credits as you work towards the 60 credits required for graduation. 25 and a half credits roughly translates to 17 electives. Elective courses are 1.5 credits here at Darden. So it's in this elective period that you're choosing how fast or how slow you'd like to complete those remaining credits and working towards 60 credits for graduation, as mentioned. And so the slowest you can go is one class per quarter. The UVA is going to require you to be enrolled in one class per quarter. The fastest, well, that just depends on your schedule, because there's a world in which you might be able to take 4 or 5 electives at the same time, depending upon the schedule flexibility you have, the courses that you're choosing. And so elective courses are offered on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday evenings during the elective period. At part-time MBA, students have the option to potentially take executive MBA electives and vice versa. Executive MBA students can take part-time MBA electives. And so we're starting to see some of that cross-program enrollment in the elective courses. We have part-time MBA students who are taking executive MBA electives, planning to go on executive MBA global residencies. And so you can see how some of that flexibility kind of continues to sort of build out through the elective period. But yeah, a lot of numbers thrown out there, 28 to 48 months, standard pacing of 33 months. The other thing to kind of keep in mind as you're orienting towards the part-time MBA program is that one of the other rules UVA has is that you can only finish the program at the conclusion of a semester. You can't finish mid-semester. And so a semester, there's fall semester, spring semester, and summer semester. And so when we say that it's 28 months or 33 months, the next completion timeline is around 37 months at the conclusion of the summer semester, and then about 40 months at the conclusion of the fall semester, 44 months, 48 months. You can sort of get a feel for the fact that you can't just be finishing like in 30 months or 32 months. And that may seem like a little inside baseball, but one of the things that we've really tried to do in terms of setting expectation here is to help people realize that there are these UVA policies that are at play, right? You have to be enrolled in at least one class. You have to finish the conclusion of a semester as you start to think about what path may make sense to you when you get to that elective period and you're looking to kind of speed up or slow down. Executive MBA, the only thing that I'll share here is it's also 60 credits required for graduation. As Allie mentioned, first year is core. the second year is electives. In this program, students take 12 electives, but the executive MBA program, interestingly enough, students are charged for total tuition and fees. And so rather than on a per credit basis, part-time MBA students are charged on a per credit basis. So we've actually had executive MBA students who've taken 13, 14 electives, sometimes 15 electives. So effectively earning more than 60 credits required for graduation, that does not result in an increase in their overall tuition and fees. Whereas for a part-time MBA student who overloaded in that way, it would result in a higher tuition and fee charge because of the way the billing is done in the part-time MBA program. Maybe also a little bit too much detail, but something I always share with folks as they're thinking about sort of executive MBA student journey. We know that we've had a few people who've taken a few more electives. Sometimes you'll see this with folks who do additional global residencies and still want to take the full slate of electives. After one global residency, the additional global residencies effectively can count as an elective. And so that can create more flexibility for a student on the scheduling side as an executive MBA student, or it could also create the opportunity to take additional classes and have more than 60 credits. So Allie, I hope all that made sense. Did that make sense?
Yes, it did. And I love that you shared that because I think something that I hear a lot of people say when they're talking about executive MBA is they're like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. This sounds very fast paced. I'm kind of worried about it. But after that second year, you're talking about additional global residencies, ways that they can kind of set this up where I think, we see the second years in our, when we're in our space all the time, some of them don't even come in on that Friday because they don't have classes, because they're set up in such a way with their electives that now they only have Saturday and Sunday classes. So, I think that second year, you can really kind of make it, it's not necessarily an easier lift, but if you're taking, more global residencies, you're doing these types of things, it is kind of an easier, I don't know, I've heard a lot of students say that it's just, oh, this is actually more manageable than I thought it would be.
Yeah, that's such a good point. We talked about the elective schedule for the part-time MBA students, but to your point, when you get to electives in the executive MBA program, there are classes that meet all on Friday, and there are classes that meet on Saturday and Sunday. And so you have a little bit more flexibility there. There's also, across both of these programs, asynchronous electives. These are self-paced electives. You can do an independent study. That's another thing that both open to part-time MBA and executive MBA students. So sometimes you run into an executive MBA student, and they might only have one or two classes that they're coming in for on a weekend residency because they're doing an independent study and maybe an asynchronous class, or they did a global residency earlier and it's lighting their load here in this particular quarter. There's a little bit more flexibility than it may at first seem in the executive MBA program. When we start talking about cohort-based and lockstep, of course, that's one of the strengths of the program is that you start and end the program with the same group of people. The other thing that you'll hear from students from time to time is that it moves very quickly. So executive MBA students are typically taking three classes at a time as they go through each of the quarters. One of the things that you will realize as you talk to our students or as you learn about this program is that you'll really measure time in two-month quarters. You get new classes in both of these programs every couple of months. And so you're going to think about your schedule in these two-month increments. And so every couple of months, you get new classes. And in a two-month quarter, our part-time MBA students are taking two classes. Our executive MBA students are taking three classes, typically, as they go through that. And that's how the executive MBA students can move more quickly through the program. The reality is, you get better at this as you go along. I think that's true for our part-time MBA and executive MBA students. It takes them about 4 to 6 months or so to feel settled in the program, to feel like they've really kind of got their sea legs under them. They found a schedule that works. That is not different across program. I think sometimes people think about, oh, it's just two classes versus three classes. It takes everybody a while to get used to being back in school, to learning in a new format and approach. Case method is a change for people. Having 35 or so percent of your grade tied to your class participation is a change for many students. And so it takes a while to get adjusted across all of our MBA programs.
Yeah, I know. I love that you said that because I even think I hear students say, you know, at first I thought 21 months was going to be too fast and too quick and three classes and all these things. But then they felt, wow, that went so quickly, but like in a good way. And I've grown so much and I've learned so much. And then sometimes for part-time students, they enjoy that slower pace. But then some students you see who are like, oh my goodness, they're already graduating. Like I'm only at the, you know, the 18 month mark. I'm just barely beginning my electives. And so I think, you know, trying to really think through that pacing, as you said, no one's going to be perfect when they jump in. You know, it is kind of fun to see, I think, as we work there and we bump into students and we see their personal growth from the first week in Charlottesville where they're doing their residencies and they're kind of, you know, this is their first introduction. And then, you know, the months later, after, you know, two or three quarters when they're feeling really settled and they're just excited and you've just seen their growth and how excited they are to connect with their learning team and talk to everyone. And I think that's some of the best part of the program that we get to see, because we see it from start to finish, right? We admit people, we see them start the program, and then we see them settle in and really enjoy the program.
All right. Well, as we wrap up here, we've shared a lot. And I will say, if any of this feels a little jumbled to you, if you want to go and sort of look at the schedule, the structure, the design of these programs, I highly encourage you to do that. I think one of the complexities here for anybody who's looking at multiple programs is that every program does this kind of similarly, and yet we all do it differently too. And so you kind of have to spend a little bit of time, get to know each program. And so if you've been intrigued about our part-time MBA or executive MBA programs, listen to this, spend a little time on the website. Make sure that you have the schedule down. Join us for an overview webinar. That's a short kind of 45-minute webinar. We really go in deep in the structure and design of these programs. Really helpful kind of next step from this particular podcast, if you're looking for what's another thing I can do. I would highly recommend one of those sessions or both of those sessions if you remain interested in both executive MBA and part-time MBA. We host those webinars essentially every month. And if you're not able to join for the live session, we always encourage folks to sign up. We'll share out a link to the recording of the webinar with everybody who registers. And so, Allie, I'd like to close just by talking through some key considerations to try to summarize some of the things that we've introduced here. So we mentioned the first thing to think about as you look at our programs. And again, this kind of gets down to Darden being a different learning experience in a very positive way, right? It's participatory, it's case method, it's interactive. And so your experience relative to your peers is going to matter here in a different way than it would in a more lecture-based environment. We don't do lectures here. And so the mix of people in the classroom, finding that group of people who are going to really challenge and engage you as a learner, that's important here. So first, foremost, number one key consideration is you look at these programs, where are your peers? Where's the group that's most like you in terms of work experience and career stage and the kinds of challenges and opportunities and experiences that you've had over the course of your career? The second question, I think, is interesting. So fully cohort or maybe something with a bit more flexibility where you're moving through the elective period with a different group of people. Executive MBA, we mentioned start and finish with the same group of people. Part-time MBA, that first 18 months, you do as a cohort, lockstep experience, and then in that elective period, people are moving at different paces as they're choosing how fast or how slowly they want to complete those remaining credits. How long you would like to earn your MBA. Allie, part-time MBA, 28 to 48 months. Executive MBA, 21 months. Standard pacing on the part-time MBA is 33 months, so about a year slower than executive MBA. And then what schedule best aligns? You have more of an evening weeknight schedule, more of a weekend and weeknight schedule on the executive MBA side. And so key considerations, what else would you add to this? What else would you encourage folks to consider or think about as they go forth from here?
Yeah, I think that we've touched so much. And again, if Brett said, you know, as Brett said, if anything is still a little confusing or, you know, you're still trying to really figure it out because, you know, so many programs do it so differently. We do have those resources that you can, you know, reach out to us, schedule a phone call, say, hey, I've looked at both programs. These are some things as I understand it. This is who I am. This is my background. These are the questions I've asked. These are my preferences. And we're happy to talk through it with you. But I think that the point of this is really just to make sure that you have as many pieces of information to make this decision for yourself. But I would say just thinking through all of that, attending, you know, a class visit was mentioned earlier as well. So connecting with us, class visit, and then those webinars that really overview, you know, the programs in their entirety as well are very helpful resources.
Well, Allie, thank you so much for your time today. So hopefully this is a helpful conversation. It was effectively a webinar on the podcast, but I think we covered a lot of ground. Hopefully this answers quite a few questions that prospective students have.
I agree. I think it was great. I hope that, you know, it helps answer a lot of those questions, and we're still here if anyone needs us. So thank you for your time, and excited we could talk about it.
And that was my interview with Allie Torres, Assistant Director of Admissions for Professional Degree Programs here at the Darden School of Business. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's exec@darden.virginia.edu. Till next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.